All right, let's pray. We jump right in this. Most High, Yah, we just bless you as always. And right now, we just appreciate your presence, and we seek wisdom and understanding from your spirit. And we just thank you in advance for it. And we just honor you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. I want to start out in Amos 1, verse 1, and then we'll move to chapter 3, because that's where we're, you know, the bulk of our lesson is going to be. It's just that, you know, you hear me say this quite a bit, I guess, from here on out, you know, when we're dealing with the scriptures, it's important for us to understand what's being discussed, you know, who is it referring to, and different things like that, because people have a tendency to just pull out a scripture, and, you know, because it sounds good. And I'll just pull up chapter 3 here to the right of the screen, because it sounds good, and you hear this a lot, I guarantee you. For all of you, just think about it. You've heard Amos 3 and 3, which says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And this is a very true statement. I'll stick with that. It's a very true statement, but what's more important is for us to understand why the statement is being made, you know, obviously who the statement is being made to, and then other scriptures will come into play as we continue to, you know, deal with lessons and just go through the scriptures here. Because, you know, and so it's just vitally important for us to understand these things. When you look at Amos 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to the left of the screen, it says the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam. Now, in our Sabbath lesson, we'll start to understand a lot of things about Jeroboam. Jeroboam caused our nation to do some wild stuff, man. We'll cover that as we're going through the scriptures, like we've been doing again in Sabbath service. And so in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, as you see here, the scripture does point out that there was an earthquake in our homeland. What took place, again, was 2 years before the earthquake, when Amos saw these things concerning our nation. He saw it concerning the whole nation, Judah being represented, and then Israel also being represented, because 10 of those tribes were given to Jeroboam and was taken out of the hands of David because of things that King Solomon had done. And so make sure your phone's on mute. Make sure your phone's on mute. And so as we, look at this, we'll just see some things. By the way, there's going to be an earthquake in our homeland in the future. There are some things that's going to happen, and the earthquake is going to happen again, but we won't discuss that now. Verse 2 says, and he said, Yahweh roared from Zion and uttered his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus said Yah, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. And so he starts to, you know, give different names as he's dealing with some things. I'm not going to cover it, cover everything. You can see just things that's happening for happening to our nation and things like that. And there were things that was going on for the transgression. So as you see it here, he says, you know, for three transgressions of Damascus, and then he goes down and he says for three transgressions of Gaza. And so he's just talking about the transgressions. There's another one here for three transgressions of Tyrus. And so he's just talking about things within these within chapter one, just going about the transgression. Well, I'm going to get out of here now. So as we move from chapter 1 to chapter 2 and chapter 3, Yah starts to speak some things, specifically in chapter 3, concerning our nation. So it says, hear the word of Yah. Hear the word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel. And so when you look at, he says, children of Israel, he said, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. So as we remember, and I'll just put it up again, just for reference for a minute. And so he's saying the whole family here in verse 1 to the right of the screen, Amos 3, the whole family, which lets us know he's talking about Judah and Israel, or in this case, all Israel combined. And so so he's letting our nation know that there were some things that was getting ready to take place because of what our whole family had done, okay? Verse 1 again, hear this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Now, remember, we dealt with a lesson here where, I talked about, we had a discussion where we talked about judgment must first begin in the household of Yah. Well, we are the household of Yah. And so, because judgment is happening to us as the nation, then, you know, Yah deal with his people, you know, the heathens don't have a chance, you know. And so I say that because, you know, I want it to be clearly understood that if Yah is dealing with us back during this time and even on today, you know, Yah, if Yah is dealing with us, can you imagine the state of this world with the, you know, what's going to happen to this world? Because if he's bringing judgment down on us and if he's dealing with us, then the world got some problems, you know. And so he's letting us know in verse 2, he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. We have a special place with Yah. And each one of you as, you know, as a child of Israel should take that with honor and to know that you have a special place in the heart of the Creator. The Creator of all things, the self-existent one, the one who, you know, who has spoken all things, you know, into existence, the one true God, we have a special place, to the point to where when you look at the word known, it says, and when you look at the word known, it says regard, respect. It says knowledge. Make to be, make self known, be learned. And so, or have understanding. So when you look at, when you look at us as a people, Yah was saying to us through Amos that we are the only family of the earth that Yah introduced himself to. We know that Yah has, you can see it even in scriptures, in the scriptures, that Yah, you know, can manifest himself to you know, to the nation, you know, to members of Israel as well as, you know, members of the heathen families. But we are the only family, a nation as a whole, where Yah made known himself to us. All of our ancestors had an encounter with Yah. Yah made himself known to us as a nation, and that's a great honor. But what we fail to realize is that because we have that special seat, that special privilege of having Yah to introduce himself to us, then we are also experiencing punishments to the highest degree because of that. Even when we take into consideration as far as, you know, your parents or you know, you being in a position of being responsible for somebody's, you know, life in one facet or another, we have, as parents, we have a tendency to be a little bit more repenting. We understand that word repenting means mercy, because we see it from Yah's perspective. I have more of a tendency to show mercy toward my you know, my children and grandchildren, because of things that they don't know, they don't understand. I have a, you know, I have a tendency to show some, you know, some mercy about some things, but the things that they know, I'm a little bit more harsh about it. I'm not so, you don't see my mercy materialized like you would from things that they don't understand. And so Yah is letting us know that because we know him, and because we are the only family of the earth who he has made known himself to, he ain't playing with us. Yah is not playing with us. And so you see the colon there, the colon makes it clear the reason why he's so specific about punishing us. Yah is like, I introduce myself to you. I give you my laws, statutes, and judgments. I make known who I am and give you my ways. And then you still, you know, go and do other things outside my divine will. He said, you know, I will punish you for all your iniquities, as we see as it continues. We know that the severity of it is associated with the fact that he showed us. And so even though he was, you know, obviously we've seen some scriptures dealing with the situation as far as Moses was concerned, when he was going to carry out his divine will through Moses, but yet he showed mercy upon our nation as a whole and then destroy us out in the wilderness when we were, you know, had made a golden calf and, you know, said, these be the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. You know, Yah showed his mercy toward us as a people, but at the same time, because we are known by him and he know us and he has chosen us as the only, you know, people by which he's shown himself to, the punishment is more severe. And so when you look at things, even on today, and a person may say, "When? Why are they always doing us this way? Man, why is it that we always get treated the worst out of anybody. Why they always shooting us? Why they always killing us? Why are all these things happening to us? Why, you know, why we're the ones that always have to go, you know, through these things? And if we do get the job, we got to be twice as better as the heathen who get the same job. Why are these things happening to us? Verse 2. Y'all said, Israel, you have to understand as a people that the reason why things is so crazy out there in society concerning you is because you're the one that I introduced myself. You're the one that had the information. You had the laws. You had the statutes. You have the you had the judgments, Israel. And because you had those things, and I took you and made known myself to you, and set you aside as my precious precious prize, my special people, the apple of my eye, that's why you're experiencing, Israel, the punishments that you are. If we can get all of our brethren to understand that. So when a person keeps saying, why, the answer is in verse 2. Y'all say, you're the only one I know, but you acting the craziest. You do the wildest stuff, Israel. Then he says in verse 3, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, before we start talking about us, we need to first of all talk about Yah. Yah is letting our nation know, man, we can't hang out together unless we're on the same page. I want to protect you, but I can't do nothing but punish you if we're not on the same page. Things happen to us as a people because we refuse to walk together and be in agreement with Yah. So Yah says this. He asks the question and then he starts to give examples of things that must be in agreement in order for it to work. Yah said, In order for you to be the blessed people that I call you to be, he said, we're going to have to walk together. We're going to have to be in agreement. Now, when we look at the word agreement before we move to verse 4 and start looking at the examples, first of all, he says, can two walk together? Come together? To unite? As a unit? Unitedly? Can two be unitedly? United ministries. Can we be united? Except we walk in agreement. The name can be a symbol of it. But until we're actually a one unit, then it has no bearing whatsoever. It's just a name. And so when you look at the word agreement here, It says to fix upon, then it says agreement or appointment, by implication to meet, summon. It gives word direct, assemble. And my favorite word out of this is betrothed. Yah says, you know, Yah called our nation. He said, return, O backside sliding Israel. He said, because I'm married to you. So when you see that word, it says to engage for marriage, agree, appoint. Then as you keep going, it says betrothed. Okay. Yah is telling us as his people, he said, can two walk together, can two be a unit except they be engaged? Except they marry. And so Yah starts out telling our nation, he's like, okay, the problem is we're not, Israel, you have backslided so much to the point to where you need to return to me as your husband. I'm married to you. You're the apple of my eye. And so he starts to give example to show us how foolish it is for these things to be in place. If another thing is not taking place. So he starts talking about the lion. He's like, okay, let me give you some examples of how important agreement is. He said, would a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? What lion would be that stupid? He's hungry. She's hungry. And they just start roaring in the forest. Every lion that, you know, I like watching Animal Kingdom and stuff like that. Every lion that I've ever seen hunt, they were quiet when they didn't have a prey. They were laying low. They were moving around, you know, trying to get as close as they could. But in order to do that, they had to be in agreement with their action. They couldn't be roaring while they're moving around on their stomach trying to get up close to the prey in order to catch it. So that's what Yah is saying concerning us. He said, okay, can two walk together except they agree? Look at these examples. Would a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Now, Israel, we like the lion roaring in the forest and we don't have no prey. We cry out and we scream out and we tell them Yah is good. We talk about all these things that Yah is doing and can do and you know, all these things we say. But Yah is like, okay, agreement means that what you're saying, you got to be walking in the same thing. That's why he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can say we're in agreement with Yah all we want to. But does the action, does the walking line up with the words? If not, it's just a lion roaring and he don't have any prey. He goes on and said, would a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? None of those things make sense. A hungry lion, and it's almost said like the Bible is telling us, a hungry lion is not a roaring lion. Doesn't make sense. He only roars and make all that noise after he has found his prey. Yah gives another example. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth? A trap? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin is for him? In other words, can he get snared if there is no trap set? Y'all said, it don't make no sense. Shall one take up a snare from the earth, a trap from the earth, and have taken nothing at all? Who go hunting and then just take up their traps? That's not in agreement with the goal. Verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? The trumpet was a warning sign to let us know that danger was coming. And so it said, if a trumpet, you know, blew in a city, and then people turn around and was like, ah, you know, it's just music. You know, that's lawn over there being noisy. That doesn't line up. Then he said, now, think about this now. Shall there be evil in a city? And Yah hath not done it. Yah is the source of all things. So when we look at the word evil, when we look at the word evil, I like taking these words because what it does is separates our mind from how we see things. And so, when you look at it, it says bad, or as a noun, evil, natural, or moral, adversity, affliction. So you start looking at these words, it says grief, down here, harm. Okay, starts dealing with a lot of different words, sorrow and things like that. And so it lets us know, because people have a tendency to look at the word evil and give that under the umbrella of the devil. And so anytime a person sees something that, again, has evil associated with it, first thing they'll say, oh, the devil busy. Y'all say, no, I'm the source. And so we have to learn how to understand how agreement works. If evil happens in a city, then what caused it? Because Yah doesn't do, take the lion, for example, the lion doesn't roar. And he has no prey. Evil doesn't come into the city, and the city hadn't been doing something to cause it. I said this before. You know, people, you know, look at, you know, tornadoes and all these different things that hit a city and a city or country or whatever, and they'll say, "Man, why would y'all allow something like that to happen? What was going on in that place?" I can't remember the specific place, but. A tsunami came into this like resort area and really destroyed it a few years ago. I can't remember where it was. It was in another country, but I mean, it really wiped out that resort. And you can see the waves coming in, man, about 30 feet high when they made it to shore. And a lot of people got, you know, killed and drowned and stuff like that. And people were saying, man, why would God allow something like this to happen? And then stories start coming out that a lot of your CEOs of companies and things like that used to take vacations to that spot and sleep with little girls because it was okay to have sex with little girls at 8 years old and stuff like that. It wasn't illegal. So you had a lot of those perverts going to that very resort-like area and were fooling with little girls. Fooling with little boys and things like that. And they were flying in specifically for that kind of stuff. So we have to understand that when Yah does something, even when it's evil, we got to find it. We got to have the wisdom enough to understand that Yah is doing something, and we got to always try. We got to always, I'm going to take away the try. We got to always see him in everything that goes on. I don't have time to give the devil credit for nothing, and I encourage you, Israel, to do the same thing. It's vitally important for us to understand that we have a God, the Most High, the one true God, that will deal with us when there's something going on. Y'all say, I'll send evil in there when you acting that way. I'll send in there what you're in agreement with. Now, you understand, as I mentioned earlier, when Yah said, I walk with you as a people, you are the people only that I know, then because of this iniquity, then you experience in Israel the results of that iniquity. It's an agreement. So don't sit there and think that it's unjust, because it is. Because we got to take an examination of ourselves and see how we really acted as a nation of people. And we got to realize that he punishes all Israel. That's why the same thing is happening to us all over the world. Simply because Yah is like, okay, you got to take a self-examination. You got to understand like the lion. You got to understand like the bird. You have to understand how these snares, you got to understand how the trumpet work. All these things work in agreement. So now you got to tune in to me spiritually and understand that if evil has showed up, what you doing? Israel, what are we doing? I have to go back up to verse 2. Y'all said deal with the word iniquity. The word iniquity in verse 2, it means perversity. moral evil, fault, mischief. Israel, we are a mischievous family. We know obviously it comes down to sin, but it's deeper than sin. Sin is a transgression of the laws of Yah. Iniquity is a deeper perversity that's associated with the sin. In other words, it's a I know without a doubt that what is happening is wrong. I just want to do it anyhow because I'm about me. I do things and I say things and I take certain actions and I do all these different things, and so I'm operating in iniquity. It ain't that I jumped in the bed with Leroy, or I jumped in the bed with I throw out crazy name with Mindy. No, I ain't done that kind of iniquity. But what else am I doing on the other side of him? And so that's why I always encourage the church, look here, examine yourself. Sit down and take a look and see if you're okay. Because it could be some stuff that we just constantly doing over and over. And it's perverse. It's perverse. Same stuff. Every time we get in the same situation, we make the same dumb mistake. Yes. Yes, that's what iniquity is. It's the practice of it. That's why the word perversity is with it, because it is the process by which, you know, because we all fall short. We all have fallen short. That's what the scripture said. But there are some people who are perverse about it. They know it's wrong. They know it's mischief. But they go out and do it anyhow. That's iniquity. We are an iniquity nation of people. We're perverse. It's not that we sin. We know exactly what we're doing. You had something else in that song? Oh, okay. And so that's why these things are vitally important, you know, for us to understand. So Yah is giving us these examples, and he's saying to us now, he said, I do it. I look for Yah in everything. I don't have time to get, man, I can't remember the last time I said the devil busy. Anybody who go around here talking about the devil busy, they don't understand their relationship with Yah. They don't understand Yah. Because the devil can't get no busy. Ask Job if you think I'm lying. The devil can't get busy unless y'all give him the assignment. Yeah, I've been wanting to slap him upside his head, y'all. But I can't do it because you got this hedge about it. I've been wanting to destroy the city, but I can't do it because you got a hedge about the city. I've been wanting to destroy that household, but I can't do it because there's a hedge about it. I've been wanting to do it. Y'all said, I have to step back and say, go ahead. I give you permission, boy. So I don't even acknowledge him. I start looking for my God. God, this showed up today. What is it that I need to be doing now? The latter part of verse 6, shall there be evil in a city, and Yah had not done it. Yah said, I'm the source. You better give me my credit. And when you give me my credit, you got to know that I'm showing you love enough to bring something to you to get you back on track. Iniquity, Israel. Then he says in verse 7, surely Yah will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Now I got to act like Paul now. Paul said, y'all bear with me while I boast a bit. Then he starts talking about his experiences, you know, being shipwrecked and things like that. And he started to, you know, talk about, you know, all of his, you know, good and bad experiences. And so I learned how to be abound. I learned how to be content when I was abounding. I learned how to be content when I was abased. I learned how to stand for Yah when I didn't have nothing. I learned how to stand for him when I had everything. And he's telling the examples as far as his life was concerned. So y'all bear with me while I brag a little bit. But it's not me boasting, but it's me boasting in the things of Yah. Everything that we've experienced so far, I told you ahead of time. I tried my best because Yah had revealed to me as his prophet that there were some things that was getting ready to materialize. So I started telling the church to examine itself. I started telling the church to get prepared because there was some coming and it was going to hit the entire church. Even as far as this COVID is concerned, I warned you about things years before this started happening. But very few people took heed to what I said. Now, I remind you, since you read Listen, I've been saying this for years. I said we have to get physically fit as well as spiritually fit for what Yah has called us to do. I said he told me that about myself, and I shared that information with the church, and I started saying you have to get your body disciplined and ready for the work that's coming and the things that's coming in the future. You're going to have to be physically ready to deal with some things. Now, I was around a lot of people on multiple occasions who had COVID. And I didn't get it because I obeyed what y'all said. Now, those who did get it, your system was compromised because you didn't follow the instructions. Yah said, can two walk together except they be agreed? See, remember when I said earlier that people think I'm talking about big sin? You know, sleeping with Carlos and Cinderella? See, we look at those sins and say, I stay away from that. But y'all say, yeah, but you didn't stay away from that iniquity of sitting down gluttoning over that food and eating all the stuff you didn't have no business doing. And I told you as a nation that you can't eat that swine and you can't do all this other stuff, but you sit there and stuffed it down your face anyhow and then wonder why when COVID hit, your body wasn't ready for it. That's the reason why he tell us to diet the way that he does. There's a reason why he put this discipline in us as a nation and gave us these instructions. Because when it hit, it won't hit you as severe as it would somebody who is not following the instructions. Then look at that side of it, did you? Y'all have been saying to different ones of you, to be disciplined about your weight gain, be disciplined about your dieting, be disciplined about all these things, exercise. I was pounding it in for years, getting the church ready for it. Now I'm going to remind you of something else. I was sick for a year because I asked Yah to make me sick so that I can be an example to the church. I said, people always talking about, you know, how you're telling everybody else to hang on, but when they in the hang on position, they don't want to ever hang on. I said, y'all make me sick so I can show people how to hang on. I was so sick, my two girls had to tie my, they would have to put on my shoes. I couldn't even put on my shoes. Because when I sit down to try to put on my shoes, I couldn't breathe. I got about 2 hours of sleep per night for a year. Deanna tell you, I got up and in and out of that bed so much she couldn't have get no sleep because I was always getting up. Because it seemed like every time I lay down, I felt like I was finna die. So I understand what it's like not to be able to breathe. I did it for a whole year. Now, I got to be bold and say this. That whole year, I was still in agreement for Yah. Or I was still in agreement with Yah. Name one thing I stopped doing. Can two walk together? Except they being agreed. I still went to the gym to the best of my ability. I did everything that I could do to the best of my ability because I was in agreement with what Yah said. Yah gave me instructions, I followed it. But I got to tell you, church, we operated in iniquity because many of us hit and miss. Y'all revealed the instructions to his prophet, and very few people followed, took heed to it. Y'all's going to constantly be giving us words on how to deal with what we're facing in the future. And we got to be walking in agreement with Yah and on the same page with him in order for these things not to bring us down. Because Yah's released evil. He's allowed evil to take course. He's allowed evil to take it up a notch. He is the source behind it, but he's not. Hear what I'm saying? He's the source behind it, but he didn't put those things out there. Man put it out there, but Yah is the source behind allowing man to come up with the wisdom to develop the stuff to put it out there. So Yah say, Israel, you don't want to listen to me? I'll send something that you can't shake off. You caught up into your houses, your cars, and your money. I'll put something in place that'll shut your houses, your cars, and your money down. Walk in agreement with me. Yah revealed things to his prophets, and we warn you. We get you prepared. I said weeks before it happened, I said, examine yourselves. If we would have examined ourselves, Yah would have said, this is what we need to do to each one of you. This is what needs to take place. No, but when I said that, people had their leg crossed and was like, I'm good. Well, it turned out not so good. Now, a person may say, man, Pastor being kind of harsh today. I want to tell you a story. This old boy wanted to follow the Savior, Yehoshua. And so he comes up to Yehoshua after Yehoshua says, follow me. He comes up to Yehoshua and said, I'll gladly follow you. He said, but let me go here and bury my loved one first. Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, when a person hear that, they be like, wow, man, why would he say something like that? Man, that's cold. Everything Pastor said was cold, man. I'm trying to get you prepared for the kingdom. And in getting you prepared for the kingdom, I can't sugarcoat it like the preachers you normally used to listening to. You want to find somebody that's going to stroke your ego? There's plenty of preachers out there willing to stroke your ego for your paycheck. But if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you're going to have to hear stuff like this. And we're going to have to understand the level by which Yah has called us as his chosen people to line up with him. And he's saying, I ain't playing with you. He said, I want you disciplined everywhere. Go to Yah instead of sitting back. Boy, I tell you. I'm going to tell you what Yah just said to me. Instead of sitting back, waiting on the easy way out, getting stuck with a needle, considering, he said, get disciplined in my word and things of the kingdom. He said, that'll be your vaccine. If you're not going to get disciplined and do the things that Yah is saying to us as a people to do, you might need to take vaccine. It ain't going to help me much. Because when Yah sent evil, he going to send it. When he sent it in a city, he going to get vaccine and unvaccine. So when I make statements and say this virus is not of Yah because it's man-made, but at the same time, what I mean by it's not of Yah is not something Yah put in the atmosphere. Not something he put in the wind, which is his spirit. The spirit don't carry disease like that. Man can put it up in the wind and the wind will carry it, but the spirit just don't develop disease like that. But at the same time, when we look at the level by which Yah is doing things, he's allowing this evil to take place because he's rebuking Israel and he's rebuking these heathens. And Yah is saying to us, he's saying, okay, look, if you're operating in fear, he said, I didn't give you that. Yah has not given us the spirit of fear. So if anything got you fearful now, that ain't Yah. That's something else going on in your mind. You're not walking, or we're not walking in agreement. My God didn't give me the spirit of fear. So if I'm walking in, that lets me know that I'm outside of his agreement. That becomes iniquity. If you operate in fear about anything, you know, I got people I got to speak to your hearts now. If you're afraid to trust Yah to breathe, if you're afraid to trust Yah to stand up and to do what you know he's created your body to do, then Yah said that's not in agreement. Get in agreement with me. Trust me. Because if you were meant to die, trust me, that oxygen ain't going to help none. It's his spirit that got us still around. So that whole time when I was having them struggles for a year, I wasn't worried. I was tired of going through it. But I wasn't worried because I had checked with the source. I was like, we good? We good, son. Shoot, that's all I need to know. Let's get through this then. One more day. Couldn't tie my own shoes. It was a struggle just walking. Struggle to walk from the car to in the house. But here's what I knew. I can't die unless y'all remove his spirit. All my people that's dealing with oxygen one fast or another now, you can't die. The oxygen is not keeping you alive. It's the spirit of Yah. He take his spirit away. They can stuff all the oxygen down your throat. It don't matter. You're going to get up out of here. It is Yah that is the source that has all of us still alive. Be in agreement with him. Don't operate in fear. And this virus is out there, man. We can't go nowhere. We can't do nothing, man. I ain't finna live in bondage like that. COVID don't leave me. Y'all does. Yep, I'll take precautions when it's there. I'll fall within line, whatever they say as far as, you know, you got to wear your mask and different things like that. I don't have no problem. You shouldn't have any problem with that. But at the same time, don't be walking around here in fear, or don't put your confidence in the mask. Let your confidence be in Yah, be in agreement with him. And when we do those things, we'll always be okay. Last verse here, it says, the lion, verse 8 said, a lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? There's only one who can foretell the future, that is the Most High. And all those that he deal with will be able to reveal that future that he tells. He gets all the glory. And we got to make up our mind that we're going to live for this God that we've been claiming for all these years. Because rubber hitting the road now. I'm ready. Bring it on. Let them release every virus they got. Let them release all kind. I don't care. Release it all. I'm in agreement with the Most High. We're operating in such iniquity as a nation of people, even when you look at mankind, period, that the things that are normal are not normal anymore. Go cough around somebody and see what happens. That's a natural body reaction. Sneeze. Everybody stop. Like you just, it's crazy, man. And common sense will tell you anytime something get up in your nose that is foreign to the body and the body don't like it, you're going to sneeze. That's a reaction to allow your body to get rid of what you just inhaled. Yet we're feeling comfortable about slapping a mask over our face and breathe in and out of our own foul body. Bacteria. Boy, I don't even want to say this, but I'm going to say it because this is the way y'all gave it to me, and then I'm going to shut my mouth. Man, he won't give me. I'm trying to wait and hope he give it to me another way, but he ain't. It's just direct as it can be. How many people fart and then smell their own fart and sit there and try to breathe it all in? I don't like smelling nobody else's. I sure don't like smelling my own. I mean, you know, I don't like smelling mine. I sure don't want to smell nobody else's. But yet we'll put a mask over our face and inhale our own breath and bacteria and that stuff and hit that mask and go right back down our throat. Every time I put on a mask and keep it on for a long period of time, my throat is sore and I feel like there's something going on. Throat gets sore, mucus start to build. That's not natural. But that's what these heathens have set up, so that's what we have to do. It's not natural, though. Well, I'm done. Y'all, starting today, let's make up our mind that we're going to be in agreement with y'all. And let's make a decision to live for him wholly to the best of our ability. And when evil, because it is, he's going to release it more and more. When evil continue to manifest and things get crazier and crazier, we'll be secure in him. I don't fear for my life. I don't fear of losing things. I don't, none of that stuff matter to me. My mind's on the kingdom. Be here today and gone tomorrow. Alright, I'm done. Any comments, questions? If not, I'm finished. I'll pray and let you go. Yes, go ahead. I'm listening.
African-American nation, why are we so rebellious? I guess I wonder, because I know that God has done so much for us, even the way that we were slavery, even before then. Why are we so raised and stiff-necked?
I believe the majority of our problem as a nation of people is we are prideful. And so, you know, because we've been dealt with in such a way, especially from all these, you know, we as a people, we only understand the Atlantic slave trade, but we've been in slavery pretty much all our lives. And the reason why, even when you look at Amos 3, the reason why we refuse to walk in agreement with Yah, although he's laid out this information for us, we the only family. But we still operate in this iniquity because of pride. Scripture said, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It is our pride as a people, and we just refuse to turn. That's why the scripture points out that it's only going to be a remnant of Israel. That's why the scripture talks about narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life. And to show you how rebellious we are as a people, and we won't take this self-examination like that. Now y'all be honest. Every time Israel, you look at it across the board, every time Israel, now we take into consideration, we know officers have done some things that's corrupt. But let's be honest with Israel, y'all, let's look at ourselves and be honest. Every time we get pulled over, we got an attitude. Soon as they walk to the car, what you put me out for? You just put me out because I'm black and all this here. That pride rise up, even though we know chances are very high that they may kill us. That's the pride of Israel. Can't tell me what to do. Girl, I know I ain't supposed to be doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this anyhow. Pride of Israel. Every time I eat them chitlins, I have to take a pill. I have to take an aspirin before I eat them. But shoot, girl, I'm eat them chitlins because them things good. They are good. I like them. But y'all said don't eat them. Man, I used to love them. I used to cook them things and some yams and some doggone greens with it. Shoot, boy, you couldn't tell me nothing. I thought I was eating caviar. Then I found out y'all was like, boy, do you wonder why you got a headache every time you eat that? Why did you go take that aspirin before you ate that? That's your pride, boy. And so that's what our issue is. We are a prideful nation of people. But Yah is going to humble Israel. He's going to humble us as a nation of people. And that humility is going to come because he's going to have to take out the majority of Israel because Israel just won't change as a whole. That's why he talks about the remnant. It's going to be a small few in comparison to all of Israel that's walking around here. Very few. When you look at how serious this is, you know, 2/3 of Israel, even in the past, and you look at some things that will take place as far as the future is concerned, 2/3 of Israel will be cut off. That's 2 out of every 3. Look at all of us as a people. 1 in 3 is going to do right. That is a narrow road. 1 in 3. Every 3 Israelite, you can just take 1. That's a lot of rebellious people. That's never going to change. So we as a people, we got to learn how to be pliable. Pliable, what is pliable? We got to learn how to bend to the will of Yah. Y'all, that pride is killing us, man. Pride go up before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Our nation is constantly getting destroyed and falling because of our pride. That's the stiff neck. I read these scriptures, man, and my mind is blown. I be like, man, we just came out of Egypt. And it ain't 40 days out, and we over here made a calf talking about these be our gods that bring us up out of here. We some crazy folks. And that crazy ain't changed none. You know, I was visiting a childhood friend today, and he was talking about, it was mentioned, he said, to show you how crazy people are, but he was talking about Israel. He said, I had a box over my head, and I was walking between some cars trying to get to my car. He said, and I accidentally bumped the guy's side mirror as I was going through. He said, man, you know that guy act like he wanted to do something to me for just bumping his mirror? Israel is crazy. Man, how you gonna step on my shoes, man? Man, I paid $100 for these shoes and you done got a black smear on them. Don't touch my car. Don't touch my car, man. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. Israel is something else, man. And there's this form of godliness, but no power. So as I mentioned as a close, Yah is judging Israel. And that judgment is coming down on the heathen. So it's going to continue to get crazier and crazier. Because these heathens, they know their time is just about up. So they not hiding nothing now. They putting everything right up front in our face. They like, they ain't going to do nothing about it. We just going to tell them what we want them to do. They ain't going to do nothing about it. And it's just a few people. It's not large numbers of people. You got a few people that's controlling the whole population. They're like, we just going to tell them what to do. That's how far out from Yah we are. Yep, so. All right. Anything else? Not. I'm done. All right. Father Yah, we just bless you for making known to us who you are, that we're the only family of the earth that you presented yourself to and gave us your laws, statutes, and judgments. But at the same time, great responsibility comes with that. We accept the assignment, but at the same time, we need you in our lives on a daily basis to help us walk in your divine will, because we're not able to do it ourselves. Y'all just lead us and guide us in all truth with your spirit. Help us to understand your way. We're constantly learning. We're so far off because for generations we didn't know who we were to you. We just knew that you were God, but we didn't know the special place that we had. And we're just trying to line up and be pleasing to you so that you can restore us to the place where you want us to be. We need your help, God. We thank you for your son. In his name we do pray. Amen.